welcome this morning, the first Sunday of Advent. We are looking forward. We are looking ahead. We're looking upward even. If you are here this morning as a visitor among us, or as someone who is seeing if this could be your church family, we invite you to fill out the welcome card that is in the pew in front of you, and you may place that in the offering basket when that time comes. Worship is a time of remembering. The words and the songs and the hymns we sing, it's remembering. The scriptures that we hear, remembering. The words we speak, remembering. And so it is, as we come to this time of the year, we are remembering that longing, that hope, that unfulfilled feeling and sense of being reality that ancient Israel had, knowing that a Messiah would come. That is the longing, the remembering we want to begin to have within ourselves. I've asked Tristan Oakes and Paul Massengela to help me with the call to worship this morning. It's printed in your bulletin as well, and will be here on the screen, either way, whichever is easier. Paul and Tristan, would you please come? Maybe it's not. Okay. You're first, Paul.
I was glad when he said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Standing on the holy ground,
bound firmly together,
we give thanks to the name of the Lord. And together we will pray for peace.
Peace within these walls.
Peace within our family and friends.
Peace within ourselves. In the house of God, we give thanks in the name of the Lord. Let us pray.
We have come with gladness this morning. We've come with anticipation of finding you, our God, in this place and in our worship this morning. We come seeking the Prince of Peace who came into the world, God, incarnate for humanity, for us. We come knowing the Spirit of God is here among us and within us. Thanks be to God. Amen. My, I don't know why that touched me so this morning, but God is here among us. Let us sing.
You're going to need all three books to, well, sing the journey, sing the story, and hymnal worship book. Lois, would you please come? Before we turn to number one, you can do that, number 172, there, you'll need to follow in your bulletin. During the Advent candle lighting, we will be singing a little number 3 and sing the story. You may turn to that. We're going to play that for you now, so sing that through once so that you've heard it. And there will be no introduction as he comes to light the candles. We will just sing that. And also after the confession and assurance, number 17. And so we'd like to just review those so that you know what's coming, and then we will just respond without any further ado at the time. 17. You may, if you want to sing along with this at this time, you may try it out. Give me an answer.
Are we
going to
do it together?
Yes. Yeah. You want to come over here?
I'll need an A.
Thank you. Okay, now let's turn to 172. O come, Emmanuel.
Let's stand with the first few songs.
Oh,
188. Number 31 in Sing the Journey, He Came Down, the Green Book.
Hallelujah. Back to the worship book, number 178. I know, it's a lot of shuffling today, isn't it? Which you may keep out for the other two responses, number 16.
Love me for us.
Let us receive the offering at this time. Our Lord, we know you spoke and that it is so much more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that. But we have received so much from you and from those around us, and we give thanks with this symbol of our money for your graciousness to us. Bless it, Lord. We give it to you in your name. Amen. The Advent wreath is more than a piece of decoration during these services, or a piece of greenery or candles. But the candle is the light. Come light of the world. And on the barn out here, Jesus, the light of the world. The greenery, the evergreen boughs, eternal life. And as I reflect on just what these symbols mean, the coming of Christ into the world, God Emmanuel. We want to enter into our time of confession and assurance. There is a part that I say, and all of us together. And after the confession portion, we will pause for a bit to ponder and to reflect on your own words with that. God of peace, we yearn to walk in your way, but have chosen our own path, turmoil and pain. Save us, Lord, from the pride and foolishness of choosing our own course, that we may humbly and confidently follow your lead through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. Throughout the tumult of life, God holds you close in love. Rejoice, because God's wisdom is your guide. God's compassion is your strength. God's love is your redemption. Come, let us walk in the way of God's peace. Children, please come. Ken has a story this morning, and it's full of pictures. I've already looked at it.
Just keep on coming. Hello, princess. How you doing? I really like your dress. Yeah. Hi, Taya. You want to sit here? Oops, you lost him. I have a story to read this morning, but I've got a problem. Would you mind helping me? Eva, could you come up here? Lucy, could you come up in here? And while I read the story, I need you to stand here and hold the pages open. No, I'm going to ask Lucy to do it this time. But next time, your name is right on the top of my list. Thank you for volunteering, though, okay? That was really nice of you. This book was written for Isabel, Noah, Ellie, John, Hope, Maya, and Jacob. Take care of each other. Have you ever had a book that's been written for you? Someday you might. Someday I'm looking around here, and I think I see people that might write books. How many of you are going to be a book writer someday? Oh, okay. Nobody. Well, I'm looking forward to reading your books if you do. And it's to Susan who makes all good things possible. Okay, we're going to go to the first page, and you're going to hold it open for me there. Now, if you can't see it real good here, then it's going to be up on the screen there, okay? Somewhere today, someone is being a friend instead of fighting. Wow. Those two are buddies, I can tell, because they've got their arms. Ooh, look at what he's doing up there. He's all sideways. Can we go to the next page, please, Lucy? Great. Somewhere today, someone is caring for a child so she won't get sick. I wonder if she's had her shots. I wonder if that's what she's doing there. Yeah. Thank you, Lucy. Let's go to the next page. And someone is joining a friend's celebration somewhere today. What's she doing? She's got a blindfold on. She's got a stick in her hand. What is that thing called up there?
A pinata.
What is it? A pinata. A pinata. So why does she want to hit the pinata? What's going on there? What's in the...
There's candy in it.
In the pinata? Oh, wow. I'd take a swipe at that. Yeah. Let's go to the next page. Somewhere today, someone is teaching his little sister to ride a bike. How many of you can ride bikes?
Me.
Yes.
I can ride a
A two-wheeler.
A nine-wheeler.
All right. A two-wheeler. Okay. Well, somebody is teaching them to ride a two-wheeler, but Gunner's ridden a nine-wheeler, and so I must have had a friend teach you. Okay. Are we ready for the next page? Here it is. Somewhere today. Can you hold this page open here so I can see it too? Thank you. Are you guys ready? You guys ready? Somewhere, someone is getting a letter from far away. Anybody here ever gotten a letter in the mail? That's always kind of special, isn't it? Let's go to the next page. You got it from school?
Yeah, because you know who's my teacher.
Oh, okay. Somewhere today, oh, look at the smile on their faces. Someone is visiting a friend who is old. Somewhere today. How old do you have to be old? 90, okay. Gunner, can you put your hand down for right now, and I'll call on you when we're done. 83, okay. Grandma Bev's 83. Well, I'm glad I'm not old yet then. Okay. Yeah, let's go to the next page, see what we've got here. I notice each page starts off the same. Somewhere today. Somewhere today, someone is planting a tree where one was cut down. Somewhere today. Looks like they're having a good time putting that tree in the soil there.
Bad.
All right, let's go to the next page. Are you ready? Okay. Somewhere today, someone is fixing old toys to give to new friends. Looks like that monkey had his tail fall off, and he's fixing it. Yep. All right, our next page. Whoa, thank you for being such a good listener. Yeah. Somewhere today, someone is learning to do things a different way. Oh, how many of you have ever used chopsticks before? Mm-hmm, you have, haven't you? Yeah. All right, thank you. Next one is somewhere today. Just a minute. Okay. That's all right. We're gonna. Do you want to sit over here, maybe? There you go. Atta boy. Somewhere today, someone is reading a book about peace and thinking about making the world a better place. Somewhere today. Okay. And look what we have there. Maybe that someone is you, and I wish I could have my camera and take a picture of each one of you and put it up there with that. Yeah, somewhere today. Thank you. Well, talk about peace. It's really good to have you here. And thank you for being such a good listener over there. I've noticed you're paying such good attention to the pictures. That's great. All right, let's go back to our parents. Grandparents, thank you. Thank you, Lucy.
Happy Thanksgiving. I wasn't going to say anything. I always just say something really quick. You should never let me up here. This Thanksgiving was a really good one, but we ran out of turkey. And my favorite thing in the world on Thursday night is a turkey sandwich. So we were driving home from quite a ways away, and I went by the church and noticed the Yoders were here having Thanksgiving. And so I came in and I found Kiara and I said, would you get me some turkey for a sandwich? She said, we're almost out of turkey. And I said, get it anyway. And she did, and that's the best turkey sandwich ever. And it made me think of a verse, stolen melons are always the sweetest. So, happy Thanksgiving. Listen to the word of God. This is what Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Israel. In the last days, the mountain of the temple of the Lord will be established as chief of all the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And the people will come, and many people will be heard to say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and there he will teach us his ways, and we will learn to walk in his paths. And the law of God will flow out of Mount Zion, and the very words of God will flow out of Jerusalem. And God himself will judge between the nations, and God himself will settle many disputes among many peoples. And the people will pick up their swords and they will beat them into plowshares. And they will lift up their spears and they'll bend them into pruning hooks. And nation will not again rise up against another nation. And the people will not practice for war anymore. Come, people of Judah. Come, people of Zion, let's learn to walk in the light of the Lord. Amen? Amen.
You have been here, our God. You have graced our singing, our scripture, our story. And now, Lord, be with Jana as she brings the words you have laid upon her heart this week as she's listened to your spirit. Bless our ears to receive the word of your spirit as well. Amen.
Amen. Well, Frank, I wanted you to wear one of my wolf skins while you did that verse. I'm going to start with a little question. If I could have this mic on.
Yep.
And the kids already have a head start with my question. So give me just a minute. I got to get my flannel on. My sermon is called Jesus and Flannel. Can you tell me why? Why did I choose that title? Jesus and Flannel. Popcorn answers. Anybody? Flannel is comforting. It's warm. What? You wear it. Jesus in flannel. Okay. You're listening well, so we're going to keep going. I don't know if you noticed a couple weeks ago, my sermon title was Jesus in Denim in the bulletin. And then I changed it the next week to Jesus in Flannel, and then I was going to go with Jesus in Sweatpants or Yoga Pants. So you'll find out. You'll find out what I mean by it. And what a great scripture passage that I've had time to study, Romans 13, 11 through 14. Let's start with the passage. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, you know, God is calling all of us sleepyheads to wake up to the light. And you know what? That's hard to do in Oregon this time of year, because November is dark and we've had that time change. I love getting that extra hour of sleep, but it means it gets dark at 5 p.m. Do you agree? So how do I do this? What does it mean to be the armor of light? What does it mean to wake from the sleep of sin? Do we focus a lot on our physical needs and appetites in this culture? Yes. But we're called here to come out of our sleep of spiritual darkness. The Word of Christ commands us to watch. Awake. Be concerned about our souls and our eternal interest. Let's take notice of the seriousness of sin. It's high time to wake up. For the sun has been up a great while and it shines in our face. Our Master is calling us again and again. We have slept enough. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We've been on this journey of following Christ, believers, and we're closer to that journey's end today than we were yesterday. We can have anticipation, knowing our eternal destiny. But I know when I turned 50, and I'm closer to 60 now than I am 50, but when I turned 50, I remember thinking, you know, I'm probably not going to live another 50 years. And it was just kind of a reality check for me. It's like, Jana, are you living the way you want to live? Are you doing the things you want to do? Are you being true to who you are? Because it's time. It's time you hit the big 5-0, and you should know yourself pretty well by now. And other people shouldn't have to influence me or tug and pull at who I am. I should know. I should know by age 50, I'm saying for myself. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, it's time to dress ourselves. We must put off and put on righteousness. Cast off the works of darkness. How shall we dress our souls? With the armor of light. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. This is called the armor of light. Rioting and drunkenness must be cast off. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I went down to the Sunday school classes this morning and I asked this question to the kids. What does it mean to put on Christ? What does it mean to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus? And I want to give you some of their answers. Thank you, kids, for helping me. Listen to Jesus. Take care of God's earth. Sleep with your Jesus blanket. Always have him around. Think of others before yourself. Surround yourself with God. Pray. Listen and follow Jesus. Baptism. Read the Bible. So what are you wearing today? Flannel? Gym shorts? Sweatpants? When I first read this passage, I was in my mind, this sounds cheesy, but I thought, okay, what do we wear when we go home after work that we want to be comfortable? What do we put on it that is the most comfortable clothing ever? I think sweatpants for some, gym shorts, flannel pants. Have you seen these flannel pants that are now the rage? And a lot of people wear them when they go out in public too. They wear their flannel jammy pants. So I was thinking, what when we are really our true selves and we're wearing the clothing that's the most comfortable to us, does that clothing exude Jesus? Because we're to be on this journey of being like Jesus. Menno Simons was the greatest figure in the history of the Mennonite Church. He wasn't the founder of the Mennonite Church, but he was often called the regenerator of the Anabaptist movement. He had a Christ-centered theology. At the time when the Anabaptist movement was in danger of losing its original identity, Menno stepped into leadership. He took the motto from 1 Corinthians 3:11. This was his motto throughout his life. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This motto he repeated in most of his works, and it points to a Christ-centered theology. It is only by Christ that we can be saved, and when we embrace this Anabaptist doctrine, which relates to Jesus' incarnation, his divine nature, his instructions, his example, his atonement, his resurrection and ascension, we are believers. We are Anabaptists. We are walking in his ways. And for all of us who have been baptized into Christ, clothe yourselves with Christ from Galatians 3:27. When we say yes to following Jesus, a wonderful thing happens to us. And I love that one of these younger children answered baptism today with my question. They're thinking, God changes us. God makes us into a new person. He forgives our sins, and he begins to break the bondage of sin so that we are free to become what we were created to be. We have a new identity. Let us walk in the light. Ephesians 5:8 through 20. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I recently read a youth pastor's blog who looked at the effects technology has on high school students and on their spiritual growth. He looked at both the negative effects and the positive. He looked at several challenges technology presents to teenagers and some of his own challenges. Our constant connection to technology provides a landscape fertile for distraction. Why is this such a big deal? Christian discipleship is not something that happens at the speed of light. It's a slow process. He says the stuff of crockpots, not microwaves. We grow in our faith when we get to know God more, becoming more like Him in the process. And this process, through varying intervals of spiritual focus, time spent reading Scripture, meditating on God, prayer, silence, that's what we need, and those things don't come fast. Our technology at our fingertips works against these spiritual disciplines. Maybe we need to wake up to our kids. Ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being majorly affected by distraction and 10 being, I kick distractions, but where do you rank? Where do you rank? Kids today need love and nurture that a safe home provides. And they will tell us what they need. In their own words, they say, Mom and Dad, stop talking on the phone and talk to me. Keep your promises better. Think about when you were a kid and don't yell so much. Say I love you once in a while, not just when I'm leaving for school. Give me things to look forward to. Treat me like you treat your patients, customers, students. Say, it would help if you do it this way instead of you're doing it wrong. Give me more free time. Don't fill my life up every minute of the day. Let the house be peaceful. Wake up. Our children have things to say to us. When Brooks was in third grade, he was taking piano lessons, and he was quite good at it. I think he had a ear for music and didn't really even need music to play, but he hated going to piano lessons. And it was a fight every time I took him. So we kept doing this and we kept doing this until he finally said, Mom, it's my decision. I don't want to take lessons anymore. And that was kind of my wake-up call. It's like, you know, he's not enjoying this. Well, today, he's 30-something, would say, I wish you guys would have kept me playing piano. I think he needed a different teacher, and he wasn't being challenged. But I finally listened to him. You know, I'm just on this in this routine, and here's what you do with your family, and you've got to be thinking about what you're cooking tonight. And I finally listened to him when he said, it's my decision. Every day, every minute, every breath we take is truly a gift from God. At age 35, I sat down to write my mom a Mother's Day card. And I wasn't planning on saying much, but I spent a good 10 minutes crying and saying things to my mom that I never had before. Because I was a parent, I was finally raising children, and I realized all the things my mom put up with when I was smarter than her, when I was stuck up as a teenager, when I didn't want her telling me what to do or how to be careful with the guy I was dating or how to be smart about that. I thought I knew it all at age 16, 17, 18. So in that moment, I was so touched by how she had loved me in spite of my arrogantness, how she had been there for me with unconditional love. Let's be present. In this holy season, let's take time to wonder about this beautiful story. We need to tell this story every year in a very simple way, I think, because there's nothing to add. God came to us. God became like us. And he came not to stay in this manger. He didn't come to stay a baby. He came to be our Savior. And Brittany, in the display, wanted to put this red coming out of the manger to represent Christ's blood. Because he did not remain a sweet little baby. He had a mission. He had a purpose in his life. And his own blood was shed for us. Be present in the small things. A word of a child. A hug, a simple, I love you, as you take in and embrace this holy season. Let's pray. Lord, as we begin to remember the meaning of your birth, thank you that you have been a living presence in the world, in the past, in the present, and in the future. And you are the one who of all the billions of our human family came most immediately from God and went most immediately to God while remaining human and intimately here among us. Thank you. You have overcome history. Help us to live in the light, to walk in the light, to be clothed with Jesus. Your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We want to live for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Get your flannel on.
It is appropriate on this weekend after Thanksgiving that there would be a lot of thanks to give, including to Jana. Thank you for that message and the wonderful association you drew towards the end there between God putting on us, our flesh in Christ, and us putting on the Lord Christ as well. Thanks. You were mentioning Brittany and Nathaniel, is that right, who put up the wonderful display, and who else? And Megan McFarland, thank you very much to you all. Okay, and Kayla Ballinger, okay. Again, wonderful artistic display that'll keep us meditating and thinking upon what the symbols there say about our faith. And I have thanks again to give for the wonderful surprise card shower and gifts and cake that came to me last Sunday. The cake is all eaten. It was wonderful. Thank you very much. And I want to share also some words of thanks that come from afar. If you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see the figure that was given for the livestock enclosure project in Burkina Faso. 2,000 plus. Is that right? So I just want to share a word of thanks that came, first of all, from Siaka Traore, the president of the Mennonite Church of Burkina Faso, where he writes, "It is a very great joy to see the church organize itself to come to the aid of other brothers and sisters. We wish to express our gratitude to all the community for this very important support. In the name of the Mennonite Church of Burkina Faso, please pass along our fraternal greetings in Jesus Christ to you." And then from Fabe Traore, who was with us last year, he writes, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ from Zion Mennonite Church, I join to David to recommend my heart to bless the Eternal without forgetting a single one of his benefits." Psalm 103, verse 2. In effect, one more time, it comes to prove God's beneficence and his faithfulness through each one of you for this project of livestock raising, for which we had great need, especially considering certain difficulties that we've had with the absence of any way of enclosing them. Very great is our surprise to see that you have given so much interest to our concern. We thank you for the interest that you give also to the Bible translation project in our language, Jungo, and in particular in the work of God in this region. And by this note, we would wish to express our profound joy, our profound gratitude, and all of our thankfulness for this great gesture of love that you have shown to us. May the Lord add to you, on top of that, of these blessings, 100 times. And that's from a blessing that's used in that culture. When you give somebody a gift, one of the things that they'll say is, "Thank you for honoring a worthless person." And then the second thing they'll say is, "Wherever you receive this, may God restore it to you 100-fold. So we are very much overwhelmed to see that Christ by the cross has established this this connection between his children. And as this project sees the light, he says, we will send you photographs and you'll see the fruit of your labor on our behalf. One more time, we repeat our thanks, our thankfulness. May the Lord also fill you up in all regards." Now, what testimonies, cares, or concerns would you have that you'd like to share for us as well that we will bring to prayer shortly? If you have any, please raise your hand. We're not doing announcements during this Advent time, but if you have also some news that it's important to share with us about any ministries or activities, this would be a time you could do that too. Yes, Kara.
Well, I just wanted to recognize a couple special couples in our congregation. My mother and father-in-law, Rich and Karen, celebrated their 50th yesterday. And Gerald and Cheryl are celebrating their 34th today. These are a couple of couples that are wearing their flannels, shining the light of Jesus in their commitment to each other, their marriage, their families, and each of us. So prayers for their years to come ahead, too.
Thank you. And it's speaking of couples, it's wonderful to see Wendell and Carol Amstutz with us as well, back from Bolivia. Thank you. Good to see you here. Are there other things to share? Well, please join me in prayer. I would like us to pray something of an ancient Christian prayer. You've seen it probably in the Bible and elsewhere. Maranatha, which is Aramaic for come Lord, and specifically come Lord Jesus. So I will bring a section of prayer to close, or start it actually with these words. With the church in all ages and places, we pray Maranatha, and then feel free to join me with come Lord Jesus. And again, there will be moments of silence as well. So please join me in prayer to close with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, with the church in all ages and places, we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. As you have come first to Bethlehem in mercy, in humility, tenderness, and vulnerability, so come to each of us in whatever way we may need to give healing, hope, companionship, peace, and strength in whatever challenges we face, with whatever burdens we bear. Hear us, Lord, as we lift up any challenges, cares, and burdens we face, such as those facing surgery, those who are kept at home, dear Lord, those facing difficult decisions, and any other burdens or difficulties that we know. Hear us as we lift them up, Lord. With the church in all ages and places, we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. You have come and you shall come in power, might, and glory for all creation to see, to liberate and redeem. We lift up our prayers of gratitude and thankfulness for the joys, the blessings, and the gifts by which you have blessed us with foretaste of the fulfillment to come, such as Rich and Karen's 50th anniversary, Gerald and Cheryl's 34th, having Wendell and Karen with us again, and others too, O Lord, hear our prayers of gratitude and thankfulness. And bless our partnership with the church in Burkina Faso. Bless them as they pursue this project and as your word goes forth. With the church in all ages and places, we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come especially to sustain and strengthen all who face poverty, persecution, and opposition in the world because of your name and because of your way, such as brothers and sisters in the drug war zones of Central America, brothers and sisters in inner cities rife with conflict and racism, dear Lord, for brothers and sisters in Syria seeking to make peace and suffering for more. And with the church in all ages and places, we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come especially to sustain and to strengthen all who minister in your name, such as our partners and members working with Canby Center, Bridging Cultures Canby, Mennonite Disaster Service, Habitat for Humanity, for the Canby Pregnancy Center, for those in our ESL classes, for Hope Village, and for brothers and sisters of the Mennonite churches in other parts of the world, O God. O Lord, all these ministries are but a foretaste of that ingathering of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, for which we pray in the words of the Lamb who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's stand and sing the story, the purple book, turn to 31, Jesus Be the Center, number 31.
Receive these words of sending. May your living be amen and alleluia. May you rest and you will see. May you see and you shall know. May you know and you shall love. May you love and you shall praise. Behind your end, which is no end. Go.